free. If your speech happens to threaten the profits of big business, large multinational publicly traded corporations, you are going to be bound and gagged, ridiculed and persecuted. Here's what happens. There are hundreds of books written about the drug industry, the FDA and the FTC, and the collusion between the associations, the corporations, the lobbyists, and certain government regulators, and how they work together to suppress all natural, inexpensive ways to prevent and cure disease. These books and these authors never see the light of day. Why? Publishers won't publish the books. If a publisher publishes a book that bashes the pharmaceutical industry, certain government agencies, or big business, these publishing companies may be blacklisted and have their other books taken out of distribution. These publishing companies fear that the publishing of these books will in fact cost them millions of dollars in profits. Additionally, many of the officers and directors of these publishing companies own stock in many pharmaceutical companies, and they don't want to do anything that will adversely affect their own personal portfolio. Remember, it's all about the money. Do you know that my book was going to be published by a major publisher? And the first thing the publisher said was, I can't write this, I can't write that, I can't write this, I can't write that. You know what I did? I started my own publishing company. So I published my own book. That way, every single word that you're hearing and reading is absolutely uncensored. Unfortunately, the Federal Trade Commission then came in and sued me, and they still censored the book. The government censored this book, which I'll talk about a little later. There is also censorship in advertising. Now think about this very simply. Let's say that you are the president of a major television network. The particular network that you are the president of is owned by another multinational company that owns or has huge controlling interest in a drug company. Very common. Your network gets 2/3 or close to 70% of its advertising revenue directly from the drug industry. Now imagine a guy comes to you and says, hey, I'd like to advertise on your network my book, and it's entitled How the Drug Companies Are Ripping Off America. Would you, as the president of the company, run that ad? If you run that ad, your boss may fire you. Because you're running that ad, you could have a negative impact on the sales and profits of the drug companies in which your boss has a major equity position. That means it's going to cost your boss money. You may, in fact, even own stock yourself. Now, think about it this way. If you run the ad for the book, you know, How Drug Companies Are Ripping Off America, if you ran an ad for that book, how are your other advertisers going to feel? Keep in mind, 70% of them are drug companies. What if they called you up and said, hey, if you run that ad for that book, we're not going to run any of our drug ads next month. Your sales are going to go straight down and you'll probably be fired. Folks, this is what is happening. It's all about the money. Information in books, it's not being published. They're not going in bookstores, and people won't even accept the advertising for them because it goes against the profits that are out there. Remember, it's always all about the money. Next, the next way that they suppress natural remedies and try to promote drugs is by debunking natural remedies. Now, in an actual government memorandum, the U.S. federal government states that one of the most effective tools to get people to believe the government's opinion is to put together a well-orchestrated debunking campaign. What this means is there is a coordinated effort between the FDA, the FTC, the healthcare associations, and the entire pharmaceutical industry, as well as some major news organizations, both on television and newspapers and radio, to produce scare stories about natural alternatives and suppress the truth about the ineffectiveness and dangers of drugs. There is a long list of inexpensive, highly effective natural cures that are being labeled as snake oil or simply hidden from the public. The FDA has led the way in this battle against natural cures. In the 70s, the FDA attempted to make vitamin supplements prescription drugs. The FDA claimed that vitamins were so dangerous they should be prescribed only by doctors. The public was outraged, and Congress rejected the idea because obviously the Congress men and women and senators wanted to get reelected, and their constituency was so outraged that Congress had to act. In 1993, the FDA tried to classify certain minerals and amino acids as prescription drugs. Again, a public outcry caused Congress to act. Recently, the FDA has been going after companies that sell natural remedies via the internet. It claims these companies are selling, quote, drugs without a license. Folks, they're not selling drugs. They're selling natural, inexpensive remedies that can prevent and cure and treat diseases. In the book, The Assault on Medical Freedom, secret documents from the medical industry have been exposed, proving the FDA, the pharmaceutical industry, and the AMA, that's the American Medical Association, and even insurance companies are working together as we speak to discredit natural medicine. The documents show and prove how the FDA worked with the pharmaceutical industry directly, producing the, quote, public service anti-quackery campaign, which is designed specifically to make people believe alternative natural remedies are ineffective, a waste of money, and even harmful and dangerous. This, quote, public service campaign is simply a front of the pharmaceutical industry. The author of the book, The Assault on Medical Freedom, claims that this collusion between the government and the pharmaceutical industry has created, quote, nothing less than an enforced totalitarian medical pharmaceutical police state, end quote. The FDA targets natural remedies one at a time. Their debunking campaign begins by warning the public that these substances have not been properly tested, are potentially dangerous, and should not be used, which is baloney. Even when double-blind studies prove the effectiveness or safety of the remedies, the evidence is debunked, suppressed, or ignored. There are thousands of studies that prove not only that natural remedies are effective, but they can be more effective than any drug counterpart. An example is vitamin E. In major double-blind studies, vitamin E was found as effective or more effective as a blood thinner than its drug counterpart. But why aren't we given vitamin E instead of the drug? The facts are clear. Natural remedies could financially devastate the pharmaceutical industry. Virtually every day, we hear about warnings relating to the usage of dietary supplements. The news organizations that report this information, for the most part, do virtually no research into the accuracy or truthfulness about these warnings. There are different standards used in both what is classified as news and advertising. If information is presented by a politician or a government agency such as the FDA or FTC, news organizations present that information as 100% factual. Any press release submitted to a news organization by a politician or government agency is reported as 100% fact and truth. The news reporting agency rarely, if ever, investigates the claims or allegations, or seeks out any opposing viewpoint. The government, folks, has the ability to influence the masses at will and without opposition. So, the first standard set is that anything a government agency or politician says is, quote, true and does not have to have evidence supporting the claims. The next standard set in the industry is for big business. When large publicly traded corporations send out press releases to news organizations, very little verification is done on the accuracy and truthfulness of what is being presented. The information is reported as, quote, news. But because it is coming from a business and not the government, occasionally opposing viewpoints are presented as well. But the FTC allows big business to do things in their advertising that smaller businesses would be prohibited from doing. An example, you're watching an ad on television. At the bottom of the screen, there are several lines of, quote, disclaimers. The FTC requires that these disclaimers be present. However, because it's big business, they are allowed to put the disclaimers on the screen for just a few seconds and printed so small that there is not a human being in the world that can read them. It's an absolute joke, and we all know what I'm talking about. We've seen these ads on TVs, and these 3, 4, 5 lines of disclaimers are written at the bottom. Nobody can read them. It's an absolute farce. Additionally, big business ads are allowed to do something that small advertisers are routinely prosecuted for doing. If a small advertiser, let's say a company selling a piece of exercise equipment through a TV infomercial, were to have a man dressed up as a doctor making wonderful statements about the product, the man must be a doctor, cannot be a paid spokesperson, and must not be reading a script. However, in big business advertising, when you see doctors, judges, business executives, policemen, or people who allegedly use the product making statements about how wonderful the company's products are, you are being deceived and lied to. Every time you watch an ad, folks, the people on those ads are paid actors reading a script. They don't use the product, and they don't believe what they're saying. They're reading a script, or they're paid millions of dollars as an endorsement fee. If a small company selling a product on an infomercial, for example, did the same thing, they would be shut down and prosecuted for false and misleading advertising. The bottom line is the government and politicians can say anything on TV, and it is never challenged, and it is presented as 100% truth. Big business can do almost anything on TV and produce false and misleading advertising without the FTC preventing them. Small businesses and companies threatening the profits of big business are the ones routinely attacked by the FTC, the FDA, and other regulatory agencies. It is surprising to note that the majority of actions taken by the FTC and the FDA are against small and medium-sized businesses. They rarely, if ever, go after big business. For example, the FTC's field manual states that agents should go after, they should not go after big business because they have deep pockets and will fight back against the FTC. It instructs its agents not to go after very small businesses because they have no money. It states to go after medium-sized businesses that will settle quickly out of fear. It's shocking to note that the Federal Trade Commission does not take action against companies based on consumer complaints, but rather uses political pressure on who to go after and the amount of money that can be extracted from the company. The FTC simply goes after companies to take money away from them, suppress the truth, and protect the profits of the big international corporations. Did you know that when the FTC charges a company with false and misleading advertising and then collects money for, quote, consumer redress, it rarely, if ever, gives the money to the consumer? The FTC keeps the money. This agency is supposed to protect consumers. Yet the vast majority of actions filed by the FTC are against companies where there are no consumer complaints. The FTC and the FDA work together to spread misinformation and lies about all natural remedies. Think of the millions of dollars that are poured into public relations campaigns specifically designed to debunk and make natural remedies appear foolish. So-called consumer advocate associations or watchdog groups have sprung up with fancy names that sound like they are looking out to protect the consumer, when in fact, these particular organizations are nothing more than a front for the pharmaceutical industry to promote their products, increase drug usage, and increase the nation's perception that natural remedies don't work and are dangerous. This is ludicrous. A good example of this is Ephedra. Ephedra is a compound most commonly found in the herb mawang, which is a Chinese herb. This herb has been used for centuries around the world, most notably in China, as an effective herbal remedy for various types of illness, including obesity and asthma. It is safe and incredibly effective. Ephedra was a substance used in diet aids to increase metabolism and decrease appetite. It did an outstanding job of both. If you took massive amounts and did not follow the instructions on the bottle, you may have had some adverse effects, such as nervousness or the jitters, similar to drinking 10 to 20 cups of coffee. In a very well-orchestrated debunking campaign, the FDA has banned the use of ephedra, stating it is too dangerous. This was a very coordinated effort to get people to believe that a natural herb supplement could be dangerous and should not be taken. This campaign is designed to encourage Congress to ban more natural remedies, as well as require supplements as harmless as basic vitamins and minerals to be classified as drugs and be sold by prescription and manufactured exclusively by the pharmaceutical industry. This is being touted under the guise of safety. Safety has nothing to do with it. It's simply protecting the profits of the pharmaceutical industry. Let me explain. Ephedra was banned because 153 deaths have been, quote, linked to taking ephedra. Now, millions and millions of people were taking ephedra with no side effects and no problems. If you take any group of 10 million people, over a year, there's a good chance that 153 people in that group will die. The FDA said that there was a link between ephedra use and those deaths. There is absolutely no conclusive evidence that ephedra caused any of those deaths or even had any remote association with those deaths. However, the FDA keeps saying how dangerous ephedra is. Every single non-prescription drug that you can buy over the counter in a drugstore is outrageously dangerous and harmful. If you went into your medicine cabinet, took any drug, and took more than the label said, there is a high probability that you could die. Every single drug, prescription and non-prescription, is incredibly dangerous and poisonous. This ephedra campaign was not about danger. It is about who controls these products. The scary part is, whatever the FDA says, it is presented as truth, and no opposing opinions are allowed to be heard. Think about this. 2,000 people died simply by taking aspirin. Not overdosing on aspirin, but by taking aspirin in the recommended amounts. Wow. I mean, it appears that aspirin is not safe if 2,000 people died by taking it. Yet I don't see aspirin being banned. Do you see where this is going? This debunking campaign includes two things. A, getting news organizations and various publications to do positive stories about drugs, falsifying or misrepresenting research data on drugs, while at the same time spreading any type of negative information about a natural remedy and natural holistic healers. Another good example of this is the debunking campaign that was a headline that said, St. John's wort not effective in treating depression, study concludes. Now, this article, written in a national newspaper, stated that a recent study was conducted and proved that the herb St. John's wort, which was an herbal remedy, touted as a depression alleviant, was found to have absolutely no effect on depression. This article went on to talk about how many herbs are used to treat various illnesses and disease without any research whatsoever to back up the effectiveness of those herbs. The article then went on to state that people should not take any herbs or natural substances because they could be unsafe and are probably ineffective, simply a waste of money. The article was ridiculous, one-sided, and totally outrageous. Now, why do I say that? Because when you actually looked at the particular study that they were referring to, St. John's wort was tested in addition to Prozac in the exact same study. And the study also showed that Prozac and St. John's wort both had no effect on depression in the patients in this particular study. But the news organization never mentioned that Prozac was also proven to be not effective. It also failed to mention that there are dozens and dozens of studies that show that St. John's wort is in fact effective in the treatment of depression. But obviously, this study was flawed. The fact that you can create a study and show virtually anything you want, but the news media chose only to talk negatively about the herbal all-natural supplement and didn't have anything negative to say about the drug that was also in the study. Debunking like this by use of studies is very common. Most, quote, studies are funded by the drug industry, folks. The researchers are given very specific parameters and objectives. Since these studies are funded by the pharmaceutical industry, the objectives are shown that drugs are effective and safe, and all natural treatments are ineffective and dangerous. These researchers are given financial incentives to produce these results. Millions of dollars in additional grants, funding, future contracts, as well as luxury perks like vacations and cars. Imagine how this works. Any research results a pharmaceutical company wants, it can get. All it has to do is buy it. Here's an example. Parents were concerned that their children were eating too much sugar, causing hyperactivity, learning disabilities, and behavioral problems. The sugar industry was concerned that kids would be eating less sugar, thus cutting into their profits. Remember the role of the food companies in all of this from our discussion at the beginning of the chapter. The sugar industry associations indirectly funded a study, which was to prove that sugar consumption had no effect on hyperactivity or learning abilities. They got the study with the results they wanted. In a national newspaper, the headline read, quote, "Sugar has no effect on hyperactivity or learning and behavioral problems in children," end quote. The article stated that a study was conducted with two groups of children. The first group was given a, quote, "control diet." The second group ate the exact same control diet, but 30% more sugar. The hyperactivity level, learning abilities, and behavioral actions were found to be the same in both groups. This concluded that sugar did not increase hyperactivity or learning or cause any learning or behavioral problems in children. Here's what they didn't tell you. The study had only 10 children in it, 5 in each group. Now, certainly not enough to have any accuracy on the study results. By the way, this happens routinely. Studies are conducted with just a few people that are hand-selected to get the results they want, and the companies use these results to mislead people about the effectiveness or ineffectiveness of something. Secondly, you were not told that the controlled diet contained lots of sugar. It actually contained enormous amounts of sugar. The control diet contained the sugar equivalent to eating 25 donuts, drinking 3 dozen sodas, and eating 10 candy bars. So all the kids were so hyped up on sugar that when you added 30% more, there wasn't any change. No kidding. Can you see how outrageous this is? Can you see how you're being lied to and misled? Can you see why I'm mad as hell and not going to take it anymore? I can give you dozens of examples of study that simply are false and misleading. You can create any, quote, credible scientific evidence you want if you just pay the right people. Drugs are not the answer for prevention and curing of disease. Natural methods work better in the long term and are much safer than any drugs and surgery. They don't want you to know the truth. They use television, radio, newspapers, and magazines, including the use of paid celebrities, paid experts, which they never tell you they're paid, and false and misleading advertising to convince you that drugs are good and natural remedies are bad. Next, one of the next ways that debunking campaigns go on, natural remedies are suppressed, and drugs are promoted is via the use of lawsuits. The industry uses lawsuits as a tool to spread negative information about natural remedies and also to put out of business anyone that is challenging the profits of the pharmaceutical industry. Keep in mind, the pharmaceutical industry is one of the most powerful, profitable industries in the entire world. Now, some of you may remember the movie The Fugitive. Well, that was more fact than fiction. Some of you may remember the whole reason for Dr. Kimball, played by Harrison Ford, was found guilty of murdering his wife was because a doctor was falsifying research on a new drug and stood to make tens of millions of dollars if the drug was approved by the FDA. Folks, I can tell you this happens. It's scary, but true. The industry has so much money, has such deep pockets, they can afford to file outrageous, frivolous lawsuits against small, independent people and companies and virtually drive them out of business or bring them to their knees. One particular case was with the American Medical Association. Keep in mind, the AMA is a union for its members, not a government organization with the mandate of solving the medical problems of America. The American Medical Association has no interest in you and me. We are simply customers. The American Medical Association is a union designed to protect its members, which are the medical doctors and the medical industry. But it is always being presented as an independent, unbiased body presenting medical facts to the world with a goal of curing disease. This is simply not the case. Just read their charter. The history of the American Medical Association is fascinating. The AMA was founded in 1847 in Philadelphia. While there were many state medical associations at the time, the need to establish a national association that would look after the interests of medical doctors nationwide was determined to be paramount 1 year earlier at the New York Medical Convention. At the time, doctors, medical doctors, were not the majority of healthcare practitioners in America dealing with the cure and prevention of illness and disease. There were a vast amount of homeopathic and other practitioners using natural remedies. The very next year after being created, the AMA began to organize assault on debunking natural remedies and discrediting any health practitioner that was not a medical doctor and not a member of the AMA. At the same time, it set out to establish the laws governing patent medicine. This practice has continued ever since, thus establishing the healthcare monopoly for the medical doctor as these continued to expand into the areas of drug manufacturing and medical research. Today, the American Medical Association stands as the largest and most powerful healthcare association in the world. It has amassed enough power and influence to create laws that help expand the business of its members while at the same time eliminating any competition that may threaten their outrageous profits. From this position of power, the AMA filed a lawsuit against the chiropractors in Illinois. Chiropractors at the time were saying that chiropractic adjustments can alleviate pain. Many people were going to chiropractors instead of medical doctors. The AMA, in order to protect its members, filed a lawsuit against the chiropractors. The chiropractors fought back, and fought back big time. And the chiropractors won. It was proven in court that chiropractic treatments were better at eliminating and reducing pain than anything that medical doctors could offer. But the travesty is that case got almost no press at all. Can you see why? This is a huge landmark case, but got virtually no press whatsoever. Another huge case, which virtually got no press whatsoever, was when a doctor who was treating people through all natural methods was saying that his all natural, non-drug methods were curing people of AIDS. He was immediately sued by the FDA. The case went all the way to the New York Supreme Court, and the doctor was found not guilty. It was proven that his treatments were more effective than those offered by any medical doctor. And he was using no drugs and no surgery, only all natural methods. Did you read about this in the newspapers? Of course not. Did you hear about it on any of the TV news stations or radio stations? Nope, I didn't. Did you read about it in any front page articles and magazines? Absolutely not. Remember, folks, it's always all about the money. Lawsuits are routinely filed against individual healthcare practitioners who are curing people without drugs and surgery. Not only civil lawsuits, but many of these honest, dedicated healthcare practitioners are being prosecuted criminally for curing people's diseases. They are being charged with practicing medicine without a license or dispensing, quote, drugs without a license. Their only real crime is curing disease through natural methods and not using drugs and surgery. Their crime is they are adversely affecting the profits of the pharmaceutical industry. Lawsuits are also routinely filed against companies that sell all natural products that can prevent, cure, and treat diseases. These lawsuits are filed primarily by the FTC, that's the Federal Trade Commission, and the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, as well as watchdog groups, which are really fronts for the pharmaceutical industry and medical associations. These suits are filed even though there are no consumer complaints. Remember, when these lawsuits are filed, the allegations are presented as facts by the news media. And remember that virtually all television networks, radio networks, newspapers, and magazines depend on the advertising revenue they receive from the pharmaceutical industry. Just look at all the ads you see and hear everywhere for drugs. What you read about and what you hear about will always be influenced by the pharmaceutical industry. That's the sad thing. These attacks via lawsuits are increasing at an alarming rate. Recently, the FDA and the FTC and other government agencies have teamed up and launched a campaign that's been called, quote, Operation Cure-All. The reason this campaign has been launched is said to protect the health of consumers against natural products that are not proven effective or safe. These government agencies are making the playing field uneven. Operation Cure-All allows the pharmaceutical industry to produce their deceptive and false advertising, while at the same time setting strict rules as to what is truthful, substantiated, and allowable in advertising for natural health products. One rule is the prohibition on saying that a natural product does anything relating to the prevention or curing of a disease. Not only are you prohibited from making such a statement, even if it's true, you are forbidden to even imply such a claim. The amazing thing is that the courts have determined that the Federal Trade Commission has the authority to decide on its own whether a claim in an ad is implied or not. This means the FTC has been given the absolute final word on whether an ad is in violation of the law. This ultimately means that the FTC can at any time sue a company or individual, and they will always win. Under the banner of Operation Cure-All, telling the truth is also forbidden. A person is prohibited from telling what the product has done for him, even though his statement may be 100% truthful and accurate. The FTC and the FDA have effectively taken over the right of free speech under the guise of protecting the public. Why are drug companies allowed to advertise their products on television, on radio, and in newspapers, and in magazines so freely? These ads are clearly false and misleading. The testimonials you hear on these ads are fake. They're made up. You are watching paid actors who are reading a script. You are being lied to and deceived, and both the FDA and FTC take no action. Why is it that advertising for natural products are being routinely attacked? It is obvious to everyone that the truth about natural remedies is being suppressed. How can America, a country that presents itself to the world as a bastion of free speech, free expression of ideas, freedom of choice, freedom of information, and free enterprise, freedom of opinion, be faced with such draconian restrictions on these freedoms when it relates to our health and medical choices? Operation Cure-All is part of a new set of rules being implemented to restrict and limit access to health information, food supplements, and natural therapies on a worldwide basis. The World Health Organization, folks, the United Nations, international banks, and the multinational pharmaceutical industry are working together right now implementing these regulations, these restrictions. This worldwide commission is working on restrictions that would severely limit the availability of vitamins, food supplements, natural remedies, and even information about the above. It appears the actual objective of this organization is to bring natural dietary supplements under the umbrella of the pharmaceutical industry, all to protect their profits. It is true that the pharmaceutical industry is trying to take over all natural products. In America, pharmaceutical giants are buying vitamin, mineral, herbal, and homeopathic companies. Currently, there are two products being marketed on television. The ads look eerily similar to drug ads. The packaging of the products make them appear to be drugs, but in this instance, they are not drugs at all. They are natural products being marketed and sold by the pharmaceutical industry at outrageously high prices. But because it's a pharmaceutical company, these ads are allowed to run, even if they are false and misleading. If a small independent company were running the same ad, the exact same ad, the Federal Trade Commission would come in, charge them with false and misleading advertising and making unsubstantiated health claims. The FDA would come in, seize the product, confiscate the equipment, books, records, and computers of the company, charge the officers, directors, and owners with selling drugs without a license. Now, I happen to know this to be true because I actually transcribed verbatim these ads. I changed a couple of words and presented them to both the FTC and the FDA. I said, I asked if I would be in violation of any FTC or FDA rules if I ran ads using these scripts. I was told that these ads violated both FTC and FDA rules and regulations. And if I ran them, I would be prosecuted. Imagine their surprise when I informed them that these ads were being run by big pharmaceutical companies currently. Their response was, well, we'll look into it. But they assured me that if I ran these ads, they would take action against me immediately. We are supposed to have equal protection under the law. Selective prosecution is allegedly forbidden in the country of America. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. The bottom line here is the government is working together with the pharmaceutical industry to take control of all natural remedies. For example, in Germany and Norway, the drug companies have virtually taken over the entire health food industry. Vitamin B1, vitamin C, vitamin E, in certain amounts, are illegal in those countries. A major pharmaceutical company now controls the herb echinacea and sells it over the counter at exorbitant prices. Selling herbs as food in certain parts of Europe is now a criminal offense. Am I the only voice expressing my outrage? No. Folks, there are thousands of medical doctors, scientists, surgeons, and ex-pharmaceutical insiders that know the truth and are desperately trying to educate the public. Hundreds of books have been written on these subjects in great detail, providing huge amounts of substantiation. I am not the only one. The bottom line is that there are natural, inexpensive, safe cures for virtually every disease. The pharmaceutical industry, the FTC, the FDA, and the rest of, quote, them, are trying to suppress this information from you. The pharmaceutical industry, the drug industry, the food industry, the associations and government agencies, all have a major financial incentive to keep people sick. There are billions of dollars in profits as long as people stay sick. And there are billions of dollars in profits as long as people continue to take more and more drugs. Remember, it's always all about the money. Just follow the money trail. It's always all about the money. Now, I have to do this. I have to really blow the whistle on how the Federal Trade Commission and the Food and Drug Administration operate. The Federal Trade Commission is an agency, if you read their charter, the primary goal is to protect consumers. It was formed to guard consumers against monopolies and ensure that small businesses were given a level playing field in which to operate. The FTC's other main goal is to make sure that consumers are not ripped off by companies. Yet in actual fact, the FTC has virtually no interest in protecting the consumers. Let me give you an example from my own personal experience. And this is not an isolated case. I can show you hundreds of examples proving that this is in fact standard operating procedure of the FTC. And here's what it looks like in my particular case. And again, this is not an isolated situation because company after company after company after company, person after person after person, I have stories that will blow your mind. But I'll give you my personal experience. Now, I was excited about a product called Coral Calcium. This product is simply calcium, the source being coral sand from Okinawa, Japan. Calcium, as you know, is harmless. It has many proven health benefits, is an essential nutrient for the body, and has been sold for years without any issue. I produced a TV infomercial interviewing an author who was giving us his opinions about the potential health benefits of supplementing your diet with calcium. I then sent this TV infomercial directly to the FTC. I telephoned the FTC on multiple occasions. I wrote the FTC letters. I sent them emails. I kept asking the FTC if they had any issues with my television infomercial promoting the product Coral Calcium. I informed the FTC that if there were any concerns or any questions that they needed answered, to please communicate that to me, as my intention and desire was to be 100% cooperative in every way. I wanted to make sure that everything was compliant. The show was sent to our legal team, who reviewed it, gave us assurances that it met all state and federal requirements, and it was in no way deceptive, misleading, and there was every statement made in the show was truthful. The FTC responded on several occasions that they had absolutely no issues with my promotion of Coral Calcium. They also stated that the FTC does not take the position of approving advertising. The Coral Calcium product was embraced by the public, not just in America, but all over the world. Thousands of letters kept pouring in, telling me of the incredible health benefits people were experiencing by taking Coral Calcium. The return rate of the product was one of the lowest in the entire dietary supplement industry. Obviously, people loved Coral Calcium and saw and felt tremendous benefits from taking it. There were virtually no complaints. Everyone loved their Coral Calcium. Unbeknownst to me, the FTC was conducting a secret investigation into the sale and promotion of Coral Calcium and were coordinating their efforts with the FDA. During the entire investigation, the FTC never called us and never requested any information from us at all. Suddenly, without warning, the FTC filed a major lawsuit against me, my company, and the author in which I interviewed. The lawsuit stated we were making unsubstantiated health claims about the benefits of Coral Calcium. They went to court and asked for an emergency ruling demanding that we be shut down and all my personal assets frozen. Keep in mind, they never called us. They never asked us a simple question. This is the modus operandi of the FTC. First, they conduct a secret investigation. No matter how cooperative you want to be, they refuse to talk to you or even question you, and they don't want to get any information. They don't let you know that they're investigating. They don't let you know they have issues. They do this in secret. Secondly, They go to court and demand that the companies be shut down and all assets be frozen. Unbelievable as it sounds, the FTC wins this request over 97% of the time. The opposing side is given virtually no time to respond and is, in effect, put out of business. Now, it may surprise you that when the FTC files suit, it is not required to go to federal court. Instead, the FTC suits are presented before an, quote, administrative law judge, who is actually an employee of the FTC. And the courtroom that they file their, quote, lawsuit in is in the FTC building in Washington, D.C. Sounds like a kangaroo court, doesn't it? It's just serious. It sounds like Nazi Germany, doesn't it? It's insane. The FTC has its own courtroom. The judge is an FTC employee. And when the FTC files a lawsuit, it goes right to their own little courtroom and says, here, we find these people, you know, guilty of this, and we want you, judge, to freeze all their assets and shut them down. No wonder the FTC wins 97% of the time. Further research revealed that with the exception of a few antitrust cases involving huge companies, not one single ruling ever went against the FTC by their own administrative law judge. Every single time the administrative law judge rules in the FTC's favor. No kidding, he works for the FTC. It's a kangaroo court, folks. It's not a real court. But that's how the FTC operates, and people don't understand that this is what goes on in our country. My case is almost identical to most other FTC cases. The three most outrageous things to look at are, number one, the FTC stated that we were making unsubstantiated and false health claims about coral calcium. However, how could the FTC state and make the allegation when they never asked us to produce any substantiation that we may have had? See, the FTC said, we're making unsubstantiated claims, but the FTC never asked us to provide any substantiation or show them what substantiation we had. Making the allegation without asking us or reviewing the substantiation that we had is in itself a false and misleading and unsubstantiated statement. The FTC is guilty of making false and misleading statements and then presenting them to the media as facts. Standard operating procedure, folks. Where are all the complaining customers? Number two, where are all the complaining customers? If our advertising was so deceptive, customers would have complained and returned the product. If we were giving misleading advertising, where is the litany of customers that are complaining and returning the product? The FTC's response when we said, hey, there are no customer complaints. Not one single customer complained. Not one of the millions, not one complained. How could our advertising be deceptive and misleading when not one customer complained? The FTC's response is that the public is too stupid to know that the ad violated the FTC rules. How insane. Number three, why didn't the FTC contact us or respond to our multitude of letters, phone calls, and emails? For over a year and a half, the FTC knew about our ad. We repeatedly asked them if they had any issues. They repeatedly said no. Then the sudden lawsuit and the subsequent demand that the show be pulled off the air. Why the delay? This is standard operating procedure. If the FTC really thought that our infomercial was not fair to consumers, they could have asked us to take it off the air 18 months earlier. Why did they wait? Because it's not about the consumers, folks. It's about the money. The FTC routinely waits for companies to generate huge amounts of sales and profits before they step in and take action. They do this because they do not care about the consumer. All they want is the money. And remember, when they get the money, they don't give it to the consumer. They keep it. If they stopped you right at the beginning, they wouldn't. You wouldn't have any money to give them. The bottom line is this group, the pharmaceutical industry, the associations, the lobbyists, the media, the Federal Trade Commission, the FDA, all work together to suppress the information on natural remedies and to promote the use of drugs. Folks, this book is being censored by the Federal Trade Commission. I wanted to put information in this book. This is America. This is the land of free speech. I'm writing a book and I want to put information in, and they sue me and say, no, you can't put this information in your book. Did you know that they wanted to burn my books? They were going to confiscate my books and burn them? The last time I heard about burning books was, I think, Adolf Hitler, Nazi Germany, burning books. I've said that multiple times already, and I'm doing it in a facetious way, obviously, but I'm doing it to make a point. America should be the land of free speech, free opinions, free ideas. But unfortunately, when your ideas cost multinational corporations money or threaten their profits, you are going to be hogtied, bound, and gagged. And folks, the information in this book, I think, is so valuable and so needed. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to feel bad. There are anti-aging remedies. There are ways to alleviate pain. If you have cancer, diabetes, heart disease, there are ways to get well naturally without drugs and surgery. And we need to look at why we are being convinced that we need to take drugs. And I hope you just understand, it's all about the money. Now, in the next chapter, I'm going to talk about why we're sick and then how to get well. But at this point, the summary of what I said so far is you have to understand that there is a financial incentive to keep you sick. There's a financial incentive to sell more drugs. All drug companies want to do is sell drugs. They don't want to cure disease. And the federal agencies, primarily the Federal Trade Commission and the Food and Drug Administration, as well as the lobbyists, the associations, the pharmaceutical companies, the food industry, websites, the news media, are all working together to suppress information about natural remedies, make you believe that they're harmful and ineffective and a waste of money, and to promote drugs by misleading you about their effectiveness and safety. And they're doing this because of the money that's involved. And that's what you should get at this point. And now we're going to talk about, since you understand who's involved in the motivation, now we're going to talk about your body and your health and what the natural remedies are so you can get well without drugs and surgery and stay well. Chapter 5, Why Are We Sick? That's the name of this chapter. Chapter 5 is Why Are We So Sick? Health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease and infirmity. That quote is from the World Health Organization, and I think it's a good one because when we say that, oh, I'm healthy or I'm not sick, a lot of people don't really understand just how good they could feel. And their definition of being sick and their definition of being healthy is really a little bit skewed. A lot of you listening right now, for example, and I'm going off the book here for a second, but a lot of you listening right now, because I've met people all around the world and they say, well, I'm healthy. I'm not sick. Really, you're not sick? No. As they're, you know, why do you say you're not sick? Well, I don't have cancer. I don't have diabetes. I mean, I have some pain in my back and I'm on a prescription medication for that, but that's normal. And, you know, I have some indigestion and heartburn and I take a prescription for that, but that's normal for people my age, 42. And so, you know, people don't understand just how good they should be feeling. And what healthy really means. So the World Health Organization, which said health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of a known or obvious disease and infirmity. So that's really what we have to understand. So the fact of the matter is, we probably, if you're listening, you're pretty sick, and you probably don't even realize just how sick you really are and unhealthy you really are. You know, we spend more money on health care today than ever before. We take more drugs than ever before. Yet, we are sicker than ever before in history. More people are getting sick today than ever before in history. As I mentioned in the beginning of this book, there is no such things as medical facts. Everything is simply an opinion based on the information we have at the current time. Additionally, all, quote, medical facts that are presented to you are those opinions which make the most profits for the international pharmaceutical and healthcare companies. If information about the prevention, cure, or diagnosis of disease was found to have an adverse effect on publicly traded companies' profits, primarily those companies in the pharmaceutical industry and the medical industry, then that, quote, medical fact would not be presented to you at all. It would be debunked and suppressed by all the people we talked about in the previous chapters. There is an underground movement which includes hundreds of thousands of healthcare practitioners who treat patients every day and see people get healed every single day. These healthcare practitioners do not use drugs or surgery. They use all natural methods. The individual patients who are cured know that these all natural treatments absolutely 100% work. There are no complaints lodged with virtually any government agency. Yet the FDA and the government agencies are on a mission to stamp out and wipe out all of these natural healthcare practitioners. Why? Because they cut into the profits of the drug companies. The pharmaceutical industry over the years has come up with different theories of why people get sick. First, it was bacteria and germs. The super wonder drug of the day was antibiotics, which were touted as the method that would eliminate disease forever and cure virtually all illness, sickness, and diseases. The theory was that all disease was caused by germs, primarily bacteria. This theory was proved to be wrong. Stronger and stronger antibiotics kept getting developed, yet people continue to get sicker and sicker and sicker. More people are getting more diseases today than ever before. The next theory was viruses are the cause of all illness and disease. Unfortunately, few people know that antibiotics have virtually no effect at all on viruses. The doctors continually prescribe antibiotics at the drop of a hat. People have been brainwashed into thinking that antibiotics are needed when they feel sick and go to their doctors and demand antibiotics. The doctor, who unfortunately is in a business and understands his patient, that means you, is really a customer, has to make the customer happy and prescribes the antibiotic. If the doctor does not, the patient, aka the customer, will simply find another doctor that will prescribe antibiotics. The Associated Press reported that the overuse of broad-spectrum antibiotics for a minor infection poses a serious health threat. The government estimates that half of the 100 million antibiotic prescriptions written each year are totally unnecessary. And that's the government saying it. And we know that they recommend antibiotic use. And for them to say over half are totally unnecessary is really impressive. Still, people continue to get more diseases, more sickness, and more illness. The current theory of the day is all sickness, disease, and illness are caused by genetic defects. Of course, the only answer is drugs. Drugs are now being researched and looked at to handle these genetic defects. The new method of making billions of dollars in profits is to come up with a genetic defect for every problem a person has. We hear it every day. Oh, you're fat because you have a genetic defect. And a drug is being worked on that can solve that genetic defect and make you thin. Or, diabetes is nothing more than genetics, so we'll work on a drug that will correct the genetic disposition and solve the problem. Keep in mind that drug companies really do not want to cure disease as they claim. This is so, so important. You have to understand the drug companies that advertise their drugs on television over and over again have no interest in curing or preventing disease. They do not want to eradicate disease. The drug companies do not want you well. The drug companies do not want you healthy. The drug companies want you to be sick, and the only thing they want to do is sell more drugs. If the drug company's goal was to wipe out and eliminate disease and sickness and illness, they'd all be out of business. This is the thing you have to understand, and you have to see the motivation behind all these drug ads on television. They're in it for the money. They don't want you to be well. They don't want to cure disease. They don't want to prevent disease and sickness. They want you to be sick, and they just want you to buy their drugs. It's all about the money. If they came up with a cure, they'd all be out of business. Now, think of herpes as an example. Now, herpes is a virus. Now, if you've ever had a cold sore on your lip, that's a herpes virus. Not just genital herpes, but any type of cold sores that you get on any part of your body is a herpes or herpetic virus. Now, we hear ads on TV every day that say, quote, "There is no cure for herpes. Therefore, in order to suppress the symptoms, take our beautiful, wonderful drug every day for the rest of your life." Now, imagine what would happen to the publicly traded company and their stock price if they announced, "Here is a cure for herpes. Simply take this herb for 30 days, and you'll never have a herpetic breakout or cold sore ever again. Oh, by the way, this herb is not patented, and it can't be because it's an all-natural product, and it only costs $3. That company would lose billions of dollars in profits and stock valuation. Its stock price would plummet. Therefore, there is no incentive for that company to come up with a herpetic cure, or cure for herpes, or cure for cold sores. The incentive is to keep you brainwashed into believing that there is no cure for herpes, and the only solution to the symptoms is to take their drugs every single day. See, the fact is there is a cure for herpes. It's an herbal remedy. It can wipe it out. You'll never have a cold sore or a herpetic breakout ever again. But the FDA suppresses it. The drug companies suppress it. This is huge. They don't want that out there. Now, remember, the FDA and the drug companies worked hand in hand. The drug and pharmaceutical industry virtually pays the FDA and funds it. And the FDA senior executives, when they leave, go to work directly for the drug companies. This is one of the biggest scams, one of the biggest corruption issues, one of the biggest payoffs that no one ever talks about. We think that there's only corruption in government in foreign countries. Let me tell you something. There's huge corruption in the U.S. government. There are huge a number of payoffs, virtual bribes. They don't call them bribes. They write the laws so that everything they do is, quote, legal. But there are massive amounts of conflict of interest that's going on at the expense of your health. And that's the sad thing. That is the sad thing. You see, the FDA writes the rules. Now, if I happen to know a cure for herpes, which I do, I can't say so. I can't even go on television and say, "Hey, this herbal formula is the cure for herpes. Here's all the research. Here's the people that that can say that it worked for them." Now, I can't do that because if I say so, I am now making, according to the FDA, a medical claim. And according to the FDA, I am breaking the law. Even if what I'm saying is true, I am still breaking the law. The FDA would come in to my office with their federal agents, with the guns out, guns drawn. They would arrest me, throw me in jail, confiscate any papers I had, and any of the harmless herb that I was talking about. They would suppress the information. They would debunk it. They would go on the news saying that I was a charlatan. They would outlaw it because there's no, quote, credible scientific evidence. Then they'd put out press releases and statements of, quote, fact that would be reported as facts, that I'm nothing more than a charlatan selling snake oil and I have no scientific evidence to substantiate anything that I'm saying, and none of it's true. Unfortunately, that's how the system works. And that's why you're not hearing about the natural remedies. Now, later in this book, I will tell you how we are going to change the system by blowing the whistle on the pharmaceutical industry, the FDA, the FTC, and the crooked charities and foundations and associations and politicians. I'm going to name names and expose the individual people whose identities have been kept a secret up until now. Isn't it strange that you are never informed of the identity of the directors or major shareholders of these organizations? These individual people hide behind corporations, trusts, and a maze of legal structures so that their true identities remain hidden. If the money trail were followed, it would shock you to find that it almost always leads to a small group of billionaires from around the world that are truly pulling the strings. Through class action lawsuits and a grassroots campaign that hopefully you can be involved in, we will get the truth out about healthcare. The trend will reverse, drug use will go down, and people will stop getting sick. Now, this corruption in the foundations and the associations is outrageous. I was just in Las Vegas. I'm digressing from the book for a moment, by the way. At a charity event with the actor Paul Sorvino. He's been in over 100 films, most notably Goodfellas. And a lot of other celebrities were there. Jerry Orbach, who was obviously in Law & Order. And a lot of other celebrities. It was a pool tournament. It was a charity for asthma. Paul Sorvino is a very strong advocate of natural remedies. And he has a 100% all-natural